historical event took place over 15 years ago where the Andrea Gale left the east coast of America and went 500 miles out in the ocean, and the perfect storm took place. We saw the movie depiction of that several years back with George Clooney and other actors. And all they found from their fishing vessel was just a few slivers of wood. The storm was so violent that day. Just last year again, late October, October 29th, another superstorm hit the east coast. It was called Superstorm Sandy. And we saw over 10 states impacted in very, very negative ways by that. People lost their homes, lost their lives, they lost possessions. They even, again, lost their electricity for several weeks in many parts of our nation. The whole country on the east coast for a season there was actually thrown into darkness. That darkness took place upon them, takes place also in human lives, in the soulish realm as well. Some of you guys that are here today might be going through a bit of darkness in some area of your life. It could be finances. It could be pressures on your marriage. It could be things taking place by your own children, circumstances at work. Darkness is all around us in many ways. The good news is Jesus Christ, the way, the truth, and the life, is also called the light of the earth. When his light shows up, darkness must be dispelled and darkness must cease. And we praise God that God is alive today through his Son, Jesus Christ, by the power of the Holy Spirit to bring forth light, to dispel darkness, and give people hope in a hopeless world as only God can do. This month of March, we've gone through a series here for the past 4 weeks. We've seen, first of all, how God takes us from death unto life, how God brings us from slavery into freedom, how God takes us from victimhood to being victors, how God also brings forth to us religion being erased from us into relationship with a living God who lives and breathes and speaks to us and is involved in two-way communication. Today, of course, the climax of this whole series is about the journey from darkness into light. Matthew 27, verse 45, it says that darkness came over all the earth when Jesus hung on the cross. The truth also was even the followers and disciples of Jesus were going through a time of great darkness, great despair, because they thought that Jesus would take this world by force, be like the Romans were, set up God's kingdom here, and bring to them pomp and fame and circumstance and great success in man's own definition of that. God's word says very plainly, the way up in my kingdom is down. My days begin with night. And I bring sometimes many things, it seems like in reverse, to bring forth forward momentum. God works in mysterious ways, but the good news is God always gets the last word. And God is never late. God is always on time. And God also knows you and I by name. And God is faithful in all he says and does. Amen. If you're overwhelmed today by any kind of a darkness in your life, I pray before you leave this place this morning, you're going to realize again that God is alive, that Jesus Christ is here today to give us his word, his promises, his truth that are always yes and amen. We're going to see now this last video clip today that shows us a depiction here again of turning from darkness to light by Mary Magdalene. Let's go ahead and enjoy this now and see what's being depicted here this morning. Now, again, you can see the rest of this tonight at 7 o'clock, History Channel, so try to find someone who has that channel. If you don't, and you'll enjoy that. It's been a great series here again, and I just appreciate these guys who put this whole thing together. I want to say on a side note again, you'd be amazed how many supernatural miracles took place during the filming of this in Israel and other parts of the world, as God just showed up there to say, I like what's going on here. I want to breathe on this thing, and I want to see it bear a whole lot of fruit up on the earth, okay? So, beyond this video here again, these moments here are a time where we see the Israelites, the people of Jerusalem who'd seen Jesus Christ working the miracles, working the signs, working the wonders, doing things to bring forth protection to himself. All these things seem to have been meant to nothing and been shattered because of him laying his own life down the way that he did. They didn't understand again that Scripture tells us time and again, he must be like a lamb led away to the slaughter. He must be one who succumbs to the government and the rulers of the day that he might lay his life down willfully, that it might be crucified and given to us as a sacrifice for the sins of mankind, because only a sinless, spotless lamb like God, like Jesus Christ himself could offer the sacrifice that God would accept and receive for the forgiveness of our sins. I want to give you three things that are what I call take-home points this morning about the benefits we receive by receiving Jesus Christ in our hearts and in our lives. Number one, the first thing is, I am saved from the darkness of confusion and enter into the light of a new commission. Let's go ahead and as a congregation, let's all say this together if we would please. I am saved from the darkness of confusion and enter into the light of a new commission. John chapter 20, verse 1, it says, on the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene came to the tomb early while it was still dark, and she saw that the stone had been taken away from the tomb. You're going to see some things in the depiction on TV that are not totally accurate as far as Scripture is concerned, the letter of the law there, but to the T. But the general thing was, Mary Magdalene did show up, was the first on the scene, and she was seeing Jesus Christ here in a way that at first she did not recognize who he actually even was. If you're going through a time in your own life where tragedy took place, it might have been through sickness, it might have been through losing your job, it might have been through an injury to your own husband or wife or something of that nature, and it seems like to add insult to injury, things don't get better, things start actually getting worse. It seems like sometimes God himself is cruel to his own people. I've seen how God time and time again lets pressure be put on our marriages, on our finances, on circumstance around us, kind of get our attention. And it seems like as you cry out to him and pray to him, God sometimes will increase the heat and let things sometimes get worse before they seem to get better. God's not being mean and being cruel to us. God knows what is best for us. And God, again, works in ways that totally confounds us, the human brain, many, many times. I thought about a story in the first service here again. I'm going to tweak that a little bit there, but it's a true story I think took place in California about a man working on his own motorcycle on the second floor of his house on the patio. When he started the engine of the motorcycle, somehow, some way, he put the thing into gear by accident. The motorcycle, with his own hand on the throttle, jerks him into the patio door, through the glass, into his own kitchen floor with broken glass everywhere. The man is now cut. The man's bleeding. The man is bruised. His wife hears a commotion, comes running into the kitchen, and sees what takes place here. She calls 911. The ambulance guys come out. The paramedics come out there, get the guy onto a gurney, haul him off to the hospital there, tape him up, sew him up, get him patched up, release him then, and he goes back home again to hopefully get a shower, get a bath, get some rest. Well, the bad news was the lady, the woman of the house, had sopped up all the oil, all the gasoline with some paper towels, and then threw those soaked gasoline paper towels in the bathroom. This man's a smoker. Somehow, some way in the bathroom, he took and lit up those paper towels soaked with gasoline and received second-degree burns on different parts of his body. His wife goes back to 911, calls the same paramedics again. The same guys come out again there, get the Guernsey out, are hauling the guy through the kitchen towards those stairs. One of the guys asks the wife, how did this man do this? She gives the story to the guy. The guy found it so funny, he laughed so hard, he actually tripped and dropped the man down the stairs where he breaks his arm. Sometimes it doesn't pay to get out of bed in the mornings, amen? I was saying in the first service, I hope the next day got better for this man. And he got some compensation from his wife at least. Amen? Might want to stick to cars. This took place to Mary Magdalene herself. Mary Magdalene sees her Lord, her Savior, Jesus Christ, being arrested, being carried off, being crucified. It seemed like all the promises he gave are now all behind her. And it seems like despair has come into her life. To make matters worse, she goes to the tomb there, and now it looks like someone's rolled the stone away and stolen Jesus Christ's body. How can things get worse? Let's read now John chapter 20, verse 14. And it says, now when she, Mary Magdalene, had said this, she turned around and she saw Jesus standing there, did not know that it was Jesus. So in real life, she actually sees this being, sees this person being disguised, but does not know it is Jesus Christ. She's being disguised from her somehow, some way. Then Jesus says to her, woman, notice this, woman, why are you weeping? Whom are you seeking? She, supposing him to be the gardener, said to him, sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away myself. Notice this now. Jesus then said to her, Mary, shouts her name out. She turned and said to him, Rabboni, which means teacher, Messiah. Jesus said back to her, do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending now to my Father and your Father, to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things to her. I've seen how time and time again throughout the Bible, when God speaks, when Jesus speaks, the Holy Spirit speaks, there's always a message in the message trying to be portrayed to us. You see here in these scriptures how when Jesus called her woman in a vague type general sense, she does not, in the eyes of her heart, know who she's talking to. Then he makes a shift there and says, Mary, and calls her by name. Her eyes are opened up in the spiritual realm and says, this is Jesus Christ, the Messiah. Amen. John chapter 10, verse 3 verifies this. It says, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. How many are glad today that God, that Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, knows you by name? He's a God, not just woman and man, not just general speaking, but God knows every detail about your life. You know, it's true that in the technology of our nation, we have satellites going across this planet, through the universe, going around us in an orbit every single day, communicating millions of communications and sound bites and so forth every single second upon the earth. Electricity, we see how homes are being filled by one hub here. We're filling homes with electricity and power and light and so forth from just one general location. If man can do things like that, how much more can the King of all the universe bring to you and I two-way communication and show, I am a God of details, I am a God of relationships, I am a God that speaks, I'm a God that's alive, I am risen through my Son Jesus Christ, and I live forevermore making intercession for you upon the face of this earth. We praise God. We serve a risen Savior who told the disciples and followers 2,000 years ago, when one sparrow of the earth falls to the ground, my Father takes note of that. You guys are worth far more than many sparrows. Understand that God's not too busy. God's not too vague. God is not too ignorant to not hear any word that's spoken out of our mouths towards Him. God lives. He's alive. He cares about every detail of your life. He's a light that brings a dispelling of darkness upon the face of the earth. This new commission now that came to Mary was, Jesus Christ tells Mary, go and tell the disciples that I am risen from the dead. Be my evangelist, be my teacher, be my light, be my mouth, be my hands, be my feet. I commission you now to the earth to dispel darkness yourself by the light being displayed upon your life, in your life, from this day forth, says the Lord. Number two message here about the gospel. Number two benefit. It says, I am saved from the darkness of fear and enter into the light of a new presence and a new peace. Let's all say it together, the same line, please. I am saved from the darkness of fear and enter into the light of a new presence and peace. John chapter 20, verse 19 goes on and says here, then the same day at evening time, darkness is here again, being the first day of the week, when the doors were all shut, where the disciples were assembled at, for fear of the Jews, Jesus came and stands in the midst and says to them, peace be with you. Now when he said this, he showed them his hands and his side. Then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. And then Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also now send you. Here's one more example about how God sometimes, in his own sense of humor, it seems like, pushes us almost over the edge. These disciples have already lost Jesus Christ on the cross. They think they're being hunted down by the Jews now to be killed themselves for being followers of Jesus Christ, a cult leader, they believe. They're trembling in fear here. They're probably afraid of supernatural things in all parts of their lives. Jesus Christ shows up in the dark and walks through the wall like a ghost in the middle of them and says, I'm sure, boo. But no, he says, look here, here's my hands, here's my side, here's my feet. I am who I said I am. Do not fear, do not be afraid. I have overcome everything the world can throw at you and throw at me. I can even walk through walls and bring a peace that'll pass all understanding in your life. Amen. John 14:27 says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let your hearts be afraid. You know, we can do things in the natural realm that brings temporary peace to our lives. We can go get drunk. We can go get high. We can sometimes watch pornography. We can do things here to go on trips and spend money and go in debt or gamble at casinos. All these things bring a level of peace to people somehow, some way, for a short season. But Jesus Christ said, the kind of peace I give is not the kind of peace the world gives to you. Their peace only comes for a season, pleasure for a season, but it will pass away, and there will be a negative payday for that kind of a peace. The peace I give passes all human understanding. It's a joy unspeakable that's full of God's grace, God's glory, God's presence. And that's the kind of peace we need in these last days. Amen? Last of all, number three, third benefit that God gives us through His Son, Jesus Christ, and by salvation. I am saved from the darkness of doubt and enter into the light of a new beginning. Let's all say it together, please. I am saved from the darkness of doubt and enter into the light of a new beginning. Praise God again that God accomplishes, annihilates fear through us in these last days. I want to say again, backing up here, that the Bible is very clear that in the last days, it says demonic, fearful times will take place, so much so the hearts of men will fail them for the fearful things coming on the face of the earth in these last days. We just saw this past week here more saber rattling by North Korea. We've seen reports of more drought in Texas. We've seen reports of higher gasoline by different things taking place in Congress. We've seen reports of war and rumors of war in Iran, Iraq, Israel, Russia, China. There's things all around us in nature going wacko, it seems like. Fearful times are happening among peoples of the earth all over the planet today. The good news is Jesus Christ says, I have overcome the world. Greater is He that's inside of us than he that is in this world. There's nothing that can take place in the earth that God can overcome by the power, by the blood, and by the word of Jesus Christ Himself. And the good news also is, the book of 1 John tells us, perfect love casts down all fear. As your pastor, if I am your pastor this morning, I want to give you guys a divine vaccination to last until Jesus Christ comes back or until you die. And that vaccine is the agape love of Jesus Christ. Do all you can to spend time in God's presence, spend time in God's Word, memorize God's Word, worship the Lord, praise God, spend time in church, spend time around on fire believers. Let the love of God fill your life and heart so much, no matter what the world would face in 2013 and beyond, you do not succumb to fear in these last days. Because perfect love will cast down every fear you can imagine in this hour, this season. Amen? Let's look now at John chapter 20, verse 27, about Thomas, who we call Doubting Thomas many times. And then it says, Jesus said to Thomas, reach your finger here, look at my hands, reach your hand here, put it into my side. Do not be unbelieving, but be believing. And Thomas answered and said back to him, my Lord and my God. Jesus said to him, Thomas, because you've seen me, you have now believed. Blessed are those who have not seen, but yet believe. Notice in the Bible, in your own reading sometime, that Thomas never goes ahead and ever touches the side and hands of Jesus Christ. The Bible talks about that. But he simply sees that Jesus is who he said he was. The good news also is those who know Christ as Lord and Savior, you are like little ambassadors for God upon the earth. The only Jesus your unsaved co-workers and neighbors ever see is you. Your attitude, your life, your face, your speech, your actions, your involvements all speak about who Jesus Christ really is. He says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and somehow glorify the Father in heaven in due time. In your life. You know, I spent 9 years of my Christian life from age 11 to age 20 playing church, playing chess during church, sleeping during church, yo-yo Christian, up one week, down the next, backslidden, flunch-slidden, answering altar calls, getting wild, back and forth like this. Finally, at age 20, I had a wake-up call by the power of the Holy Spirit. And God became not a religious thing to me and a hell escape and an escape from the Antichrist, the mark of the beast, and the second coming of Jesus. He became my Father, my Abba, my Daddy, my God, a God that speaks, a God that cares, and a God who cares about every individual thing about my life. I fell in love with Him. I fell in love with people. And God began to lead me, guide me, direct me from that path to where I am today in a place that's like full-time ministry. I'm a first-generation minister, preacher, and my whole family is all because of what God's grace did in my life, my wife's life, my kids' lives, your lives as well. I'm saying again, God's not a God of religion and a God of hell escape and fire escape only. God is a God of relationships, a God alive, a God that thrives, and a God that's exciting, a God that's vibrant, and a God of creativity. That's the God we serve. Amen? Doubt is a big enemy of God's desires for your life. We're right now seeing in our own secular media, in our own nation, the secularization of our own country in many ways. The sad truth is 80% of our young people graduating from high school in America will quit going to church altogether. 80% or more will quit going to church any place when they go from a senior in high school into a college or a campus of their choosing. You watch TV shows today that are sitcoms, regular programs, reality shows. You never see anybody go to church, pray for their meals, talk about Jesus, talk about church. They leave it all out on purpose as they're trying to secularize this nation in greater and greater ways. You guys, you are salt, you are light, you do your part beyond ABC, CBS, and NBC doing their part to bring forth the gospel, the truth, the love, the life that Jesus Christ has in your life upon this earth. Amen? Amen. Jesus Christ is alive. As James is back to the platform now to help me out, please. The darkness of doubt can be replaced by the light of a new beginning. You may